I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to One Up Delivered Through the AI Podcast Channel. Again, it's been a little while, but we've reasons, like the gaming world does stop for a little bit and football does take over, but Carl's also been moving house, so it's partly him to blame, but yeah, that's an odd issue. But yeah, gaming world, we know the summer's where the news is. And Carl's here with me to discuss all the news. We'll be previewing a couple things, reviewing the PlayStation state of play, and just looking at general news. But Carl, how are you doing, bud?
Not too bad, as you said, Kai. I was kind of caught in limbo for a few weeks there, kind of, you know, when you're moving out of one house, it's hard to do things, and then when you're moving into another one, it's tricky. But I'm glad to be kind of finally somewhat settled here and able to get back to doing the things I love to do, which obviously includes podcasting. And, you know, as you said, it's been a while, and I think one of these is long overdue. I mean, I think when doing the post-match podcast a few times, Nina's asking me for plugs, and I kept kind of hinting that we'd get back at it, but we didn't quite get there. But we're here now, and that's the main thing. So glad we're to be back in the seat and talking some games. How's things been for you?
All good. I mean, we know podcasting football-wise can be tough when your team doesn't have a great end to the season. But yeah, it's been a strange few weeks. Obviously, it's a bit quieter now for me with all the recordings and stuff like that. But the end of the season, it was sad. But yeah, I think eventually people will look back at it as a happy season. So it's been a strange couple of weeks. But yeah. On to next season, that's how you look at it. But, yeah, I mean, we might as well do it in reverse order. We normally finish with this, but, I mean, what you been... Well, have you had chance to play anything with the move?
A little bit. We've got the PlayStation set up a few days ago, and we finally got back into some It Takes Two, because we never quite got to finish that, so did another level of that, and we might actually... Play some of that after the podcast again. And also dabbled in a bit of Among Us with some friends and introduced my fiance to it the other day. She murdered me twice quite quickly. Both times she was the imposter. So I think though that gave it a dead giveaway when she wasn't the imposter, when I wasn't the first person to die. But what's better than a bit of spousal violence in a gaming sense? In a gaming sense. Other than that, not much, obviously, because you know I didn't have consoles set up for quite some time. But I'm glad to finally get the opportunity to get back into some gaming now that my consoles are set up and I have a nice little gaming room all to myself where I can play games so that I don't take the big TV away. You know, what have you been playing?
Well, I've played a few things, but big news is I've got a PlayStation. I've got a PS5. Saw it was on sale. It was finally back in stock. I ended up getting the digital version, which kind of annoys me because I have stuff like Ghost of Tsushima on disc, so no idea what I'll do with it. But I got that. Started playing Detroit Become Human because that always captured my eye. I need to go back to that, actually, because I've been back on Xbox mostly, which it is the way with your primary and secondary consoles, but On Xbox, a lot of Apex Legends, which has now replaced all the other BRs, which me and my mates play. I'm surprised I never played that earlier, to be honest. I know you're not the biggest Battle Royale guy, but Respawn just make quality games, really. And it's much better than COD, it's much better than... It's not really the same, but Halo, I went back on Halo the other week and it just felt... It felt like a generational difference in games. What else have I been on? NBA 2K22, that came to Game Pass. I've been on that a bit. Overwatch, as per usual, that's been on always on and off. What else have I been on? Sniper Elite 5, that launched in Game Pass. Been playing that. It's Sniper Elite. It's still the same game, but it's fun. I'm enjoying playing that co-op. It's still a fun game. But that's about it, really. I'm planning to go on Tunic at some point. I don't know why I haven't been on that, seeing as it was a game I tracked for about 3 years on this podcast. But yeah, I've got a few things, a few different games. I'm looking, hopefully, catch up with a few things over the summer as well. But yeah, it should be fun. But we'll get into the news, Carl. I mean, we'll start. Do you want to start us off with this first story?
Yes, so Sega has announced a Mega Drive Mini 2, including Mega CD games. And this comes from Chris Scullion over at VGC. And Chris writes, Sega has announced its next mini console, which will be based on the Mega Drive 2. The Mega Drive Mini 2 will include 50 Mega Drive and Mega CD titles, including arcade ports and what Sega describes as a, quote, mysterious new work, end quote. The console was announced during a Japanese Sega live stream, which at the time of writing is still ongoing. The list of games confirmed for the console so far is as follows. Sly Feed, Shining Force CD, Sonic CD, Mansion of Hidden Souls, Popful Mail, Virtua Racing, Bonanza Bros, Shining in the Darkness, Thunder Force 4, Magical Taruto, Fantasy Zone, which is actually a new game that game never came to the Mega Drive previously. The Mega Drive Mini 2 will be released on October 27th in Japan and will cost 9,980 yen, which is about $75. Sega is yet to confirm a Western release. And you can read the full story over at VGC. I mean, it would be my expectation that this would come to the West, because when they did their last mini console, which was a Game Gear, they said that the next console they do will have more of a worldwide appeal. I personally am quite excited for this. I love mini consoles, and I love when they're done well. And you know, Sega, after years of partnering with At Games and producing, you know, plastic paperweights, you know, they went with M2, which is one of like the best port studios for bringing old games to modern consoles, for their last one. And they also kind of included a lot of games that are ridiculously expensive to buy or are like not available in this region. Mm-hmm. And it looks like they're doing more of the same with this. I think, for example, Popful Mail, as far as I know, was a game that cost like a couple hundred quid. So, I'll be definitely picking this one up once it gets announced for the West.
Yeah, I think these are good. I think these types of consoles are quite good. I think people who grew up with the Mega Drive and obviously Nintendo starting to embrace it a wee bit more. I mean, they're bringing more into their what's it Nintendo Online, not Game Pass thing. But I think Sega's kind of coming back up a bit in the gaming realm, isn't it? Obviously, the success of the Sonic films, the new Sonic film game that got shown the other day. I don't think that got hugely positive looks at it. I haven't actually seen it myself. I forgot about it, but yeah, it's Sega seems to be on the up and releasing stuff like this. I'm not familiar with any of these games, but Mega Drive was my first console. It was mainly just used for Sonic and Echo the Dolphin. I think these just have a place. I think they have a place. If they're done well, I think they're just they're really good. Like, pretty cheap. If it is 75 quid, if the yen converts properly, I should say. £75, something you'll just knock up and then maybe show your kids or something what you played as a youngster or whatever. I think stuff like that's good. But a bit of nostalgia for £75, you can't really go wrong, can you?
No, certainly not. And you know, I like that. You know, it's not just the nostalgia you're getting from them. As I said, like they're including games that, you know, unless, you know, we go to less honest means, let's say, you know, some games aren't easy to play these days, you know, because they haven't been re-released for modern consoles. So, you know, to get an opportunity to have those games there at your fingertips is a nice kind of bonus on top of that nostalgia. So, as I said, I'll be definitely the audience for this console when it launches.
Absolutely, absolutely. Moving on then, second news story. BioWare confirms Dragon Age Dreadwolf as name of next game in the fantasy RPG series. This is from Eurogamer by Wesley Yin Poole. Dragon Age Dreadwolf is the name of the next game in BioWare's fantasy role-playing series. In a blog post, BioWare touched on the subtitle, which is an alias of Dragon Age Inquisition's party member Solus. Solus the Dreadwolf reads the official blurb. Some say he might be an ancient elven god, but some say not. Others say a betrayer of his people or a savior who now seeks to rescue them at the cost of your world. His motives are inscrutable and his methods sometimes questionable, earning him a reputation as something of a trickster deity, a player of dark and dangerous games. BioWare heavily hinted at Solus returning for the next Dragon Age all the way back in 2018, so a focus on the character shouldn't come as a surprise. Meanwhile, BioWare confirmed Dragon Age Dreadwolf will not launch in 2022, but insisted we're growing closer to that next adventure and confirmed plans to talk more about this game later this year. In February, the release window of Dragon Age 4, as we're calling it then, was pegged at late 2023. Yeah, I mean, it's probably overdue, a Dragon Age game, because we know the troubles BioWare's gone through. We've discussed them on this pod. I think loads of people have discussed them across various gaming media. But I think most people say Dragon Age Inquisition is the last proper BioWare game, because Anthem was a mess. Mass Effect Andromeda was done by the B team and a mess. Might have even been the C team. But yeah, the more we hear about this game, we know there's all these events coming up in the summer. It just makes you want BioWare to get back to where they were, doesn't it?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, it hasn't been a great few years for BioWare in any sense. You know, obviously Anthem, much covered on this very podcast, what a disappointment that was. And then prior to that, you had Andromeda, which was just a glitchy on the face and a hollow shell within. So, I mean, they need kind of a return to form, and really Inquisition was their last great game. And you know, some people would make the argument that it was their best game. I wouldn't be among them. I don't get me wrong; it's a great game, but I personally lean towards the earlier Mass Effects, but Inquisition nonetheless is a cracking game. And you know, we thought there'd be a much quicker turnaround to a follow-up, but it just seems to have been put back, and you know, multiple times, and there's been a lot of changes at the studio. But you know, it's just so important that they get that right, because already BioWare, they used to be in that kind of upper echelon of developers, you know, people who talk, you know, about them alongside Rockstar, mm-hmm. Naughty Dog and Bethesda stuff. Mm-hmm. Now they're probably not even in the second tier, you know, they've dropped a few tiers. And you know, I'm not sure maybe they'll ever get back up to that top table, because I think, you know, what you need to be at the top table is consistency. And you know, that's obviously something they've lacked, you know, based on the last couple of games. But you know, even to get up to the next tier, they really need a hit game, and hopefully this is it. And you know, I don't see why it can't be, because you know, Inquisition was great. And, you know, I think there's a fantastic template there to follow for the next game. And, you know, obviously they've had this story in mind all along, because this was hinted at in a DLC for, mm-hmm. for Inquisition, from what I recall. So, you know, this clearly has been in the oven for some time. So hopefully it comes out smelling good, let's say.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd probably compare Inquisition to The Witcher. I mean, I never played Dragon Age before 3, before Inquisition, I should say. And Witcher, I played a bit of Witcher 2, but Witcher 3 was the one. So I'd kind of compare them two. I'm hoping they don't do a Cyberpunk and make a crap game afterwards. I suppose they already have. But yeah, it is... Like someone who's not a huge fan of the entire franchise, because I know people have played Dragon Age from number one. But yeah, Dragon Age 4, it's probably one, not my top of my list in terms of looking forward to, because we've seen so little of it. But as soon as the hype starts, I think it might be up there. Because Inquisition, when did that come out? That must have been...
I think it was 2016.
Oh, dear me, it's been a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, 2016, and I can't remember any other releases that came out that year, because it was...
Actually, no, Jesus, 2014.
2014, Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm old. I'm old. Yeah. I'm old, Carl. I'm getting old. But yeah, It must have been up there for Game of the Year that year. I'd be surprised if it didn't. But yeah, Dragon Age. Hopefully we see something in these events. If not, maybe the Game Awards at the end of the year, if it's planning a 2023 release. But yeah, once we see this game, maybe we can start getting excited about BioWare again.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, you mentioned people have been playing the series all along, and I count myself among them. I remember I picked up Dragon Age Inquisition when a friend of mine who'd borrowed my copy of Oblivion, lost my copy of Oblivion, and he gave me money. And instead of buying a new copy of Oblivion, because back then, you know, I didn't have the money to buy games at will, I decided to pick up Dragon Age Inquisition instead, and I wasn't disappointed. Like, to me, it was a game that deserved to be mentioned in the same sentence as Oblivion. Like, it's right up there as an RPG. Like, I adored it. I played through it multiple times. I picked up Dragon Age 2, was much hyped for that, and it disappointed. You know, it wasn't a bad game, but it was just a step down from the first one. It was a lot of lazy development. I mean, I've joked about it on this podcast before, how the dungeons, they basically just like use the same map and just block off entrances by just sticking a boulder. But it's painfully obvious what they've done. And, you know, it's just, as I said, pure laziness. But, you know, I still, despite that, maintained hope for the third one, that they did come back strong, and they really did for Inquisition. So, you know, I think all in all, like, it's a very strong series, and I'm hopeful that the fourth one will pick up where it left off and will bring BioWare, you know, back up in that conversation. And for the record, actually, it was Game of the Year at both the Game Awards and the DICE Awards in 2014. So pretty much it won the two big awards. So... it is a top tier title.
Good stuff, and deservedly so. I can't remember that far back what other games were out, but yeah, it'd have to be a big one to beat Dragon Age. Do you want to take us through the last story, Carl?
Yeah, so Pokemon Violet and Scarlet are launching in November, and this comes from Andrew Webster over at The Verge. And Andrew writes, "The next Pokemon adventure is launching on November 18th. Nintendo revealed the release date for Pokemon Violet and Scarlet, the next mainline entries in the series, through a new trailer today. The games were previously pegged to launch in the second half of 2022 for the Nintendo Switch. In addition to the release date, the trailer also shows off the new professors and some new Pokemon, including a pair of legendaries, along with multiplayer support for up to four people. Violet and Scarlet were first announced in February and are the latest attempts to shift the series to a more open-world structure, following 2019's Sword and Shield and this year's prequel Arceus. Nintendo describes the new games as an adventure where players, quote, can explore an open world where the various towns and cities have no borders and blend seamlessly into the wilderness, end quote. And you can read the full story over at The Verge. So yeah, more Pokemon. It feels like we've had a lot of Pokemon lately, obviously with Arceus launching earlier this year and the remakes of Diamond and Pearl just a couple of months beforehand. But I mean, can you ever have too much Pokemon?
Possibly. Because I basically got my Switch 4 Pokemon. And I didn't get Arceus or the other ones. Excuse me. But yeah, it's a strange one because can you Pokemon yourself out? It's a strange one. I mean, what do you make of the open world stuff? Because I think if you had to ask me, but I suppose we'll have to talk about Final Fantasy in a sec. There's a similar discussion about open world versus turn-based combat stuff there, but I kind of like the old 8-bit limited Pokemon more, but that might just be nostalgia talking. But the open world stuff, I like it as an idea, but I think it's still done a bit too limited, probably the word, from what I played of Sword and Shield, unless it improved in Arceus. But I feel like it could just be more detailed. Like, I do want a Breath of the Wild Pokemon game, not just basically copy and pasted environments and stuff like that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'd agree with you there. Like, the last one I played was Shield, Sword, I think. I liked it, but I didn't get very far because I kind of, when the world opened up, I just, you know, I kind of have a thing where when I'm playing Pokemon, I just have to catch every Pokemon possible. And I just kind of got, you know, overwhelmed by the open world because it's open, but it's repetitive. And yeah. It just didn't do it for me. And that unfortunately ultimately meant I lost my way. And, you know, I'd feel like I'd like to go back to it eventually, but I feel I'd probably have to start again. But I did pick up earlier this year both the remake of Diamond and Arceus, because I like the idea of Diamond, because I did play Pokemon Diamond back in the day. It was actually after a long time, because obviously, you know, like many people, I played the original two generations of Pokemon. I played, you know, Red, Blue, and then Gold, Silver. Mm-hmm. But then I kind of jumped off. I wasn't really there for, you know, kind of the remakes, Leaf Green and Fire Red, and for Ruby and Sapphire. I kind of missed the early DS generation as well. But one time my friends and I were talking about Pokemon, and we said, you know, it'd be great to play a Pokemon game. So the two of them had DSs, and I borrowed my sister-in-law's DS at the time, and we drove to a game in a town, a couple towns over, and we picked up three copies of pre-owned copies of Pokemon Diamond, and we brought them back and started playing them. And it was fun. It was really nostalgic to play kind of a Pokemon game, and, you know, kind of sitting around in a circle, and, you know, we got pizza, all that. It was great, you know, it was a good kick to it. Like, but that was kind of my re-entry into Pokemon, and I enjoyed it. So, you know, kind of seeing that the remakes were there, you know, I thought maybe that'd be a nice way to get some nostalgia of the kind of the old Pokemon, as you said, you know, when it was simple. But Arceus looked like another step up in terms of the open world. Like, it seems less empty than Sword and Shield, you know, less repetitive. And that appealed to me. So, obviously, moving and stuff. I haven't really had time to game, but I really do want to dig out the Switch and start playing Arceus because I'm really intrigued. And it does look like Violet and Scarlet are going to yet another step towards that open world Pokemon game that we've always wanted, that we've wanted, since open world RPGs became a thing. So I'm excited to see how the series keeps evolving and where it's going to take us next.
Yeah, I think if the development keeps up, I think it'll just become... It won't even become, it'll just go to another level, because Pokemon is... It's just massive. If Arceus is a level up, I might pick up Arceus or something like that. But I got towards the end. I can't remember which version I got. Whichever one I Sword or Shield I got. I think I got Shield. Whichever version of that I got. I think I got to the last gym leader. And yeah, I just couldn't be bothered after that. Maybe I was burnt out with it. Something that you've not played for years. But yeah, maybe pick up Arceus if it ever does come down in price. Because Nintendo doesn't do dropping prices. But yeah, it's Pokemon. It'll do well. And Pokemon games are always huge. But what else is huge was seemingly this state of play, Carl. I mean, well, I suppose we're both PlayStation people now, but probably still means more to you. But it got a lot of fanfare, because these state of plays usually are a bit crap. But this one seemed to have a nice mix of not huge, well, the big news and exciting news for, well, new Spider-Man coming to PC, for instance. People just want to mod Spider-Man games, so that'll be fun. But yeah, it's a nice mix of big news and cute little news, like Tunic going to PlayStation.
Yeah, I mean, as you said, state of players are never the biggest thing, but that's okay, because Sony set the stage for them. They always set expectations. They respect you enough to do so. They don't say, oh, we're having an event, and then leave it completely in the air as to what that event is going to be. They'll say, oh, it's a VR state of play. It's focusing on third parties. I think they did one where they were like, oh, it's focusing on Japanese games, around the Tokyo Game Show. They do ones that are focused on particular games, like, oh, we're going to focus in on Last of Us Part 2, for example. Like they always set the stage, and they respect your time, because they're not very long events. There's no filler, just 20 to 30 minutes, just game, and you get in, you get out.
Remember the trebuchet. So,
yeah.
Good Lord. I mean,
for that reason, I never complain about a state of play, even if it's, doesn't have anything I'm particularly interested in. But I think because of those past things, and because they came out and said, oh, it's going to give you the first look at PSVR 2 games, and it's going to have some third-party stuff, and people just kind of, had in their mindset that, oh, it's going to be kind of a similar level to the previous things. And, I listened to a couple of previews about it, and, some of the things that ended up getting announced that we'll talk about shortly, they were dismissed. It's like, no, they that wouldn't be announced for a state of play. That's too big for a state of play. And, I think people were just expecting to see like a handful of indie titles and, maybe two or three third-party VR titles and maybe, one notable first-party VR title. But it was a lot more than that. Like, it was, there was a lot in this 30 minutes. It did have those things, but it had some bigger things as well. And I think a lot of people would, confidently say this is probably the biggest state of play in terms of the level of things covered goes. And like, I don't think they announced a single new game. It wasn't about that, but it was about kind of giving you gameplay and giving you release dates and maybe revealing some features and the like. I thought it was a really good show.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll go through each. I mean, they kicked off with a big one, Resident Evil 4 remake. I'm not the biggest, like, I put this to a few mates and said Resi 5 is probably my favourite one. And I think they wanted to fight me, but Resident Evil 5 was easy to play and wasn't scary, so that's why I liked Resident Evil 5. but I know in the Resident Evil fan base, 4, it is one of the big ones, if not the big one, and yeah, people have been looking forward to this for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, Resident Evil 4 is one of those games that gets talked about when people are talking about like the best games of all time. Like it's that beloved. Like I'm not going to say everyone says it's the best Resident Evil, because there are people who will say 2, you know, and there are people nowadays who will say 7 or Village, you know, they come into the conversation, but I think the majority of people will say 4, and it's that one that comes up on those lists. And, you know, so I don't think anyone needed to tell you that Resident Evil 4 was going to be remade after 2 and 3 were. But, you know, we knew regardless that it was coming because, you know, there was, of course, that Capcom leak back in the late 2020. And Resident Evil 4 remake was one of the games that had a kind of placeholder release date. I think it was supposed to release the end of this year. Like many games, I'm sure it was affected by COVID and got pushed back. But we knew this was coming at some point. So, you know, and this was one game that was discussed as a possibility for this state of play. But again, as I said, people just dismissed it. They're like, no, Capcom will want to do their own thing. It's too big to have a state of play. So, I mean, for it to open the state of play, like, you know, a remake of one of the best games of all time, like, you know, you don't get much of a stronger start than that in my eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the fact that it's early next year, it's stated for, I think you can still use other shows, other platforms to highlight it. Like the Game of the Year awards is obviously in December, so they can show off heavy gameplay or whatever then, and everyone will be happy. But to know it's not too far away for the Resident Evil fan base, it's huge news, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's been massive for Resident Evil fans in recent years, starting with 7. Like, I mean, 7, 2 remake, 3 remake, Village, like, all of them have been. I suppose 3 was probably not quite on the level of the other 3 in terms of its reception, but like, it was nonetheless a good game. So it's a series that's really going from strength to strength, and I think alongside Monster Hunter, it's really been the series that has brought Capcom back to the forefront after kind of a long time in the shadows. So, and it's been really, really strong showing for them in recent years. Like not just from those two series. Like, of course, Devil May Cry 5 was quite fondly received as well. So, it's great to see Capcom kind of flying the flag in many ways for Japanese companies in recent years in the industry. And you know, it's good that they don't seem to be slowing down. And you know, another thing, which obviously a big focus for this state of play, was VR. And a lot of people say that, you know, Resident Evil 7's VR mode, which I believe is exclusive to PSVR still to this day, you know, was one of, if not the strongest title, at least in terms of an actual mainline game embracing VR. And like it looks like they're not slowing down with that, because you know, clearly I think the original Resident Evil 4 has a VR mode which is on Oculus, I believe it's exclusive to, and now, you know, lo and behold, Resident Evil 4 remake is going to have VR, and the second game they covered in the state of play was actually a VR version of Resident Evil Village. So it's really cool to see them embracing VR like that, because I think really when you think of VR and video games, what better thing to do it with than horror, you know?
Yeah, I think it is that. I think VR is. We've seen it with Half-Life, Elix, whatever it was called. That seems to be the big one. But outside of that, I'd agree. I think Resident Evil 7 was the one that pretty much put it on the map. And the next announcement was obviously Village becoming VR as well, which might have another attraction, because loads of thirsty people will want to see Lady Dimitrescu up front and personal. That's basically how I see that getting made as a VR game.
Yeah, definitely. I think there'll be some weird stuff going on there. But, you know, more power to you. You know, if you like your 8 feet tall vampire ladies,
absolutely.
You know, good for you. 8 feet tall vampire ladies needs some love too, I'm sure.
No shaming on this podcast. Village VR. Village was one of the best games of... Was it this year or last year?
2021.
God, time is just not a big thing anymore. Next up, we have Stray, which has been one of the indie games which has been followed quite heavily. I think it was shown at other shows a few times, but we finally got it dated. Cyberpunk Cat, yeah, July 19th. It'll have its fans, Carl.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of hype for this one. I mean, I am not so hype. Not because I think it looks cool, but I'm a dog person, much like yourself, Guy, and therefore the idea of playing as a cat doesn't particularly appeal to me. I'm not fond of that. Cats, I don't hate cats. You know, I like all animals. I'd never be bad to any animal, but just cats make me uneasy. So I just playing as a cat doesn't appeal to me. But I know a lot of people who love cats and who are really hyped for this game. Like, I think it's that indie title that's really stood out to people, because it looks different, you know. Like, there's a lot of indie titles these days that tend to kind of they tend to fall in the same genres. You know, there's a lot of Metroidvanias, a lot of big ones. You know, your Hollow Knights and the like. There's a lot of roguelikes. There's a lot of walking simulators. There's a lot of kind of Telltale type games, you know, largely kind of almost like the new iteration of the PC adventure games as they were back in the day. Like, but that's where a lot of, and then there's a lot of platforms as well, like, but all of them seem to kind of fall in that. But this is something different. It's like a 3D adventure game. You know, it's not something you see every day, and I think that's why it's kind of calling out to people and really appealing to them. And it's good it's finally gotten a release date, because it was one of the games that was bigged up at the launch of the VS5, so it's a surprise that it's taken all this time for it to come out.
Yeah, and it's fun. July 19th, not too far away, so people don't have to wait too long. Horizon Call of the Mountain, this looked fantastic, considering VR1, or PSVR1, wasn't explored too heavily by their own first party studios. But for a game like Horizon, which has obviously had the two big releases, but Forbidden West not too old, but to build off that hype and show what they did for Horizon, it looked really good.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where PlayStation fell down with PSVR, was they didn't really support it wholeheartedly with the first party. You know, there was no kind of, none of their big IPs came to VR. Like, you know, they did a couple first party things with kind of some of their kind of second tier studios. Obviously, like Sony London did something, and I think they did the VR Worlds, and Asobi did the Astrobot game, which was probably the one first party game that was a massive hit. And then on the second party end, of course, they had like Until Dawn, a Rush of Blood, and the Impatient, which was a bit of a dud. But there wasn't that much, and it really, you know, most of the hits came from either kind of independent studios or, as previously mentioned, Resident Evil 7. That was probably the one AAA title really in in terms of VR. So I think it doesn't really scream confidence in your product if you're not willing to back it with like a Last of Us or a Horizon or a Killzone or what have you. So it's good that they've now correcting that mistake. They've learned from it. They're going to launch strong with a Horizon game. And, you know, they brought in Firesprite, who've done VR games in the past, to lead the way on this one. And like, it does look good. I'm a bit iffy on the floaty hands. That's something that's always put me off VR, the floaty hands. But that aside though, it does look really impressive, and you know, Horizon is a great series, so you know, what better one to go with for kind of your first big title for your new VR headset?
Yeah, I think if you could pick one world to explore out of the PlayStation games, I think there'd be plenty who want to go around the God of War world, but robot dinosaurs? Yeah, I could see that. I could see that being a big one. Season, A Letter to the Future. This one didn't ring a bell just watching the trailer. It looks like a artsy walking simulator to me. I am watching it without the sound. Let's just say it's something very different.
Yeah, I remember this was, I can't remember if this was shown previously at the launch for the PS5 or in events shortly afterwards, but it was another kind of one of those indie titles they seem to be pushing. It wasn't really catching me, to be honest. I think what this was maybe the first moment in the state of play where I kind of zoned out a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's, you know, I'm sure it's going to be a good indie title. I mean, I don't think Sony would be backing it as strongly if they weren't really impressed with what they're seeing in previews. But like, it's not one that's for me. And actually, speaking of indie games that Sony backed, I forgot one I missed here in the notes was No Man's Sky VR is coming to PS VR 2 as well. I mean, probably one of the greatest comeback stories in gaming history has been No Man's Sky. It doesn't seem it's going anywhere anytime soon.
Absolutely. Another world people would want to explore. The Callisto Protocol, not Dead Space. it's not set in the PUBG world anymore, apparently, which is sad. But this looks like it'll fill the space that Dead Space left.
Yeah, I mean, the PUBG thing was a weird move in the first place, to be like, oh, it's going to be set in the same universe. It's like it's a battle royale with no real story, and somehow you're going to link a sci-fi horror game to this. Like, it was bizarre. So I'm glad they've kind of distanced themselves there. I mean, Dead Space, I have, you know, I've said before in the podcast, I have very limited experience with it. I played it one time and staying in my brother's house, and he had it installed on his PS3 at the time. Like, it seemed a good game, but obviously I just didn't have the opportunity to delve too deep into it. I'm really intrigued by the Dead Space remake, which is coming out early next year. So it feels like these games are going to inevitably be, you know, they would have been anyway compared, but they're going to be more so because they're launching so close together. So it'll be interesting to see which one kind of comes out on top. And the Callisto Protocol is definitely something I'm keeping an eye on. Like, if that comes out and it gets good reviews, you know, I may well be tempted to check it out.
Yeah, I think I remember there's a lot of fanfare when it got first shown. And the PUBG thing did intrigue me. But yeah, probably doesn't make more sense not to do it. But yeah, I've only played Dead Space 3, which is seen as the bad one, the tame one. So yeah, if you like horror in space, it'll probably suit you. December 2nd, that's coming out, so that should be one to look forward to in the winter. Spider-Man Remastered coming to PC, Carl. We're seeing this more and more with PlayStation games going on PC, just whether the time shortens eventually. But yeah, Spider-Man on PC, it's going to be on the top-end spec PCs. I think that game's going to look amazing. We talked about mods earlier. Spider-Man with mods, it could pop up. It could be a huge hit on PC, and I expect it to be.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, it was we wondered why certain games had been held back so far from the PC launch of PlayStation games, so to speak. And like Spider-Man and Last of Us seemed to be those holdouts, but I felt it was always a matter of when and not if. And I mean, with The Last of Us, I'd say they'll probably wait until the remaster comes out and then maybe give it 6 months and then bring it to PC. Some people even speculate that it could be day and date for both PlayStation and PC, so that would be interesting. But Spider-Man did seem the obvious next place to go, and you know, I wouldn't say it'll be too long before Miles Morales follows suit and comes over. And I mean, I've already played this game, of course, and I do plan a replay of it on PS5. I'm comfortable enough over there, but for those who have been holdouts on PC, it's great that they're finally going to get their hands on it. And as you alluded to, it'll be crazy to see what kind of mods people come up with, you know, what other superheroes you'll be able to play as, and you know, kind of will there be like story content and all sorts. Like it's really exciting to see what people will do with that.
Yeah, it's just going to be a huge playground, and fair enough. Street Fighter 6, Street Fighter.
Yeah, I mean, this was one of the big third-party games that was mooted that people actually thought had legs, and people thought they might see it at this state of play. And you know, there was even speculation, obviously, would Street Fighter be a PlayStation exclusive again? Turns out it's not. It is coming to Xbox, which I'm sure fighting fans on Xbox will sigh with relief, because it feels like the genre is kind of dead on Xbox. I think between Street Fighter V being exclusive to PlayStation and then PlayStation straight up buying Evo, it really hasn't helped the genre there. So it's good for them that they'll be getting Street Fighter back. I mean, I really enjoy Street Fighter games, but I just don't have the time to put into them to be in any way decent. And then you just kind of, you go online. We've all done it. You get a fighting game, you play the arcade game mode a couple of times, you go online and you get absolutely destroyed by some guy, and you're just like, yeah, I'm never playing this game again. So I just saved myself from that by not buying them these days. But you know, nonetheless, it's such a strong series, and I'm sure this is going to be another hit for them.
Yep, absolutely. Roller Dome?
Yeah, I don't know how you felt about this one. The aesthetics really didn't do it for me. Like, I think it's from the same people who make Olly Olly World, which is quite popular among people, but I don't know, the visuals on this one, like I don't mean, like, I know an indie game isn't going to look like, you know, photo visual realistic, it's not that, that's not what I'm getting at. Like, the art style just didn't sit easy with me. Like, I don't know, what was your take on that?
Yeah, it's a unique art style, but I'm not sure, is it unique, because we're starting to see this type of art a bit more and more, unless I'm just not familiar with the creator of the game and it's just their games I keep seeing. But I'm sure we've seen this art style quite a bit recently. But yeah, it doesn't really do anything for me. Like, the game itself, yeah, I probably wouldn't even play this if it ended up being a PS Plus or Game Pass game. And just nothing's clicking there. But it is August 16th, it's coming out, so if it did tickle your fancy, there it is. But yeah, it didn't really do anything for me.
Me either.
Tunic, finally on PlayStation.
Yeah, I mean, I never got it. Similar to what you were saying earlier, like, you want to give it a go finally, and similar to yourself, I just never got a chance to play it, so now it's come to PlayStation, I'll probably just wait till it's on PlayStation, give it a go there. Mind you, I'm wondering if it'll be announced for Switch as well. And it seems like a great Switch title, like, you know, because, you know, Zelda is a Nintendo title and it is a Zelda clone. So I think if it's coming to Switch, all the better. That would be a place I'd love to play it. But it's definitely a game I completely intend to play. Like, I love the old Zeldas, the isometric Zeldas, and this is exactly what that is. So definitely playing Tunic at one point. I think we've both kind of talked about how much we like to look at this game so many times before when it's been at Xbox events. So I'm not sure there's much more for us to say.
Yeah, we've kind of done this one to death. Now, one game for you, and then Final Fantasy we can talk about. Eternite? How the hell did we know it? Yes, Japanese.
Yeah, I mean, very anime. Looks to be like an action game. I think from what I read online, there is like some social sim aspects as well, so... You know, I'm sure you get to date other characters and pick your romance, you know, a bit like in the Personas and the like. It didn't really capture me. Not to say it looks bad, but just like I have a gigantic backlog of Japanese games to play and that I already own that are probably just more appealing to me than this. So it's not one that would ever interest me, unfortunately. But, you know, who's to say if it comes out and gets fantastic reviews, you know, my interest could be drawn back towards it. But for now, that, you know, similar to Rollerdrome and Seasons, that'll be one of these that I'll most likely be giving a miss.
Yeah, it's... I've seen more exciting JRPG type games with better art style and stuff like that. So yeah, I'd probably agree with you there if I was to.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Delve into that genre. But Final Fantasy 16, Kat, I mean, it was announced as a... Was it an exclusive or a timed exclusive?
A timed exclusive.
Which is basically an exclusive nowadays. But yeah, Final Fantasy 16, it looked Final Fantasy. It'll be interesting to see more, but summer 2023, it's one of the biggest franchises in gaming. It'll obviously catch a lot of eyes, but yeah, it's weird with Final Fantasy, because I think, for me personally, I loved 7 and 9 growing up, dabbled with a bit of, I think, 12 and other ones. But I never really went back to it. I tried with 15, but that I didn't finish that. I could appreciate it was a good game, but, and I'm not just saying this as a sour Xbox fan, but I think Final Fantasy might... I say that 7 will come to Xbox at sometime in the next 20 odd years, and I'll get excited for that. But yeah, it this doesn't really do much for me anymore. I think it might just be a mix of the fighting style and maybe the nostalgia of what I have for 7 and 9.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hyped for this one. Like, I was excited when they announced it. I like the look of it. I like the way it's going back to kind of a more of a medieval kind of fantasy setting, as opposed to the kind of more modern setting of Final Fantasy 15. Like, I really enjoyed Final Fantasy 15. Like, you know, obviously the whole fact it took, you know, 30 years to finish, and you know, they did that big event for the release date only to delay from that release date. It was a bit of a shit show, but when the actual game came out, like, I enjoyed it. Like, I put 100 hours into it, I platinumed it. Like, I was a fan of the game, even though it was different to what I was used to with Final Fantasy. And like, I like where they've been taking it in recent years, and how they've been kind of paying a lot of attention to not just Final Fantasy, but a lot of their RPG series. And, you know, I've been meaning to play 7 Remake. I still haven't gotten around to it, but it's definitely on my kind of very high up in my backlog list. But another aspect for me, obviously, is I play Final Fantasy 14, like, a lot of my gaming is Final Fantasy 14, and it's the director of that game that's doing Final Fantasy 16, which is so exciting, because, you know, as a lot of people would say, like, Final Fantasy 14 has the best story of all the Final Fantasies. Like, if you know, and that, you don't really need that for an online game, because a lot of people ignore the story, but nonetheless, they put that much effort in. So it'd be really nice to see what they do with kind of a contained, you know, 40, 50 hour story, which is what this will be. So I'm really excited for this. I'm shocked that I was at the festival. Like, I thought, or the showcase, I thought it would come maybe at Tokyo Game Show later in the year, and maybe Square would do their own thing and make a bit more of a big deal of it. But I'm glad they brought it back here, and they gave it a release window, like summer 2023. Sure, we'll probably blink and it'll be here. So I'm really excited for this one. This is probably my highlight of the show, and it is definitely one of my most hyped games. I guess it's one of the games I have the closest eye on.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think if you're still in love with the Final Fantasy franchise, you only get them so often. As I say, waited 200 years for 15. So 16's relatively rushed, so it might be crap. but no, it's a big get for PlayStation, and as the exclusivity as well as showing it on this show. So yeah, huge news in that one. A really good state of play, considering what state of plays usually are. So a lot of big news in there, and fair enough. Starts off the summer of gaming really well. So yeah, but that's not the only topic, Carl. We do want to speculate a bit on the summer's Game Fest. We haven't got many... I haven't seen many rumours or huge rumours myself, so probably best that we just go through some of the lads that are confirmed to be there and just maybe discuss what we expect from them.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
So we'll start off with some of the big hitters. I mean, Xbox, obviously they've got their own show. I think it's 3 days after or 3 days before. I can't remember the order around. But Xbox, you'd imagine they'd have most of their stuff at their own showcase. But I don't know, maybe stuff like a Halo update or something like that here. Maybe stuff on current titles.
Yeah, I feel like they'll probably show something, like the Xbox and Bethesda showcases on the 12th. So I figure we'll probably preview that in the next show, maybe in a week or so's time. So obviously we won't delve too deep in an Xbox, because we want to rethread ground. But I do think maybe we'll see like one thing we already know about, like, you know, be that Starfield or Redfall. One of the two, they'd be the two I'd be looking at on the Bethesda side. And we might just kind of see a bit of gameplay or something from them. And they'll be kind of like, see more at the Xbox Bethesda showcase. Like, I think that they'll almost use it as like a teaser for their own showcase. Like, so, but I think the focus for them will be very much on the 12th and their own show.
Yeah, I think Redfall might be a good fit for that, because I think people will want to see a decent deep dive into Starfield, whereas Redfall might become a bit of an afterthought. So I think that's a good shout. Unless Halo has the Battle Royale rumoured to show up, I'd maybe show off their new season on that or something, or if they have story DLC. But Halo's a bit of a mess at the minute. Sea of Thieves stuff, maybe, whatever. But yeah, Xbox, I think their main stuff will be at their own show. PlayStation, Carl. The big one. Rumours of... I was going to say Gears of War there. God of War, Jesus Christ. But yeah, if God of War's there, it's pretty much won the event as best game. That's how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's a highly anticipated sequel, and all we've really had is a title screen so far. So, I'm glad though that they haven't really pumped this one out, because you know I know I'm hyped to play it. I just kind of, when you're ready, give me a release date and then give me the game. Like that's all I want from this. So. Hopefully that's kind of what we get. As you said, it is rumored. I'm not a betting man, but if I was a betting man, I would put some money on this game making an appearance at this showcase. I think really for me, the one question is with PlayStation, will it just be a one and done? Like, will it just be God of War, or will they have a bit more to show? Like, there's been a lot of rumors lately that The Last of Us remake is coming out this year as well, in the fall. So if that's the case, where else are you going to show it but at the Summer Games Fest as well? I mean, do you think, what's your gut feeling? Do you think PlayStation will just focus on the one game, or do you think they could show a couple of things here?
I think if God of War's there, I think that'll be enough. But I think they'll... I think they'll show enough of God of War, but I think they'll show more in their own state of play later on in the year. Expecting it to actually come out this year. I think long they expected it'll come out in 2023, but it seems they are actually on schedule. But if it's coming out, I don't know, November or October, maybe do their own state of play in September for it. But maybe they can do... Last of Us or whatever at that state of play, like a end credit teaser or something like that, or just exciting news. But I suppose they could do that here as well and set up the more state of plays. But say they do a big deep dive on God of War and then show Last of Us remake, or was it Factions, what it's called, which has been rumoured for about 7 years now. But yeah, I think God of War's the lock in. And maybe not a deep dive on other PlayStation stuff, but teases for more details soon or something like that.
Yeah, no, I don't think PlayStation are done this summer one way or the other. Like, I think they'll have more, you know, one or two more state of plays later. You know, maybe one, as you said, that fully focuses on God of War, and maybe one that kind of... focuses on a few different titles. But you know, as I said, I would bet money on God of War being at this Summer Games Fest, but you know, I would wonder if maybe anything more than that would be a bit of overkill from them, from especially considering we only just got this state of play a few days ago. So they don't need to show more. They show God of War, as you said, they won, so to speak, you know, in air quotes, won the day, you know. So, I mean, people aren't going to get any more excited for anything other than God of War, so they just don't need to show anything else.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. 2K is a bit of a strange one, because it seems like a lot of unknown to me, like, I haven't really heard any rumours. I've not really kept up as much as I would normally with the end of the football season being so hectic. But 2K, I mean, do we dare dream of, like, Bioshock or anything like that? Or are we just expecting... I don't even know what to expect, to be honest.
I mean, Bioshock is supposed to be, you know... in the works and close-ish. You know, there's two BioShock titles, I think, in the works. I think based on that, the NVIDIA leak, there's one which is like seems to be a like you know, a remaster of the first BioShock with ray tracing in it. Now there's some rumors that that's going to be PC only, potentially. So obviously that's a more limited audience, and it is just at the end of the day just kind of a re-release with added features. But the other game, of course, is the brand new BioShock title, like a fourth BioShock title. And there's been a lot of kind of rumors over the past few months about, I think it's a rumor that it takes place in like Alaska or something, and different bits. So, you know, we talked about this last year and we said it was too early. Now I don't think it's too early. Like I think we could see the next BioShock. And I mean, you know, you say God of War would win the day, but I think if a new BioShock got announced, there might be some competition, let's say. I mean, I have a couple other ideas what 2K might potentially discuss, but I'm you know, curious to know what your thoughts are on the potential of us seeing a BioShock at this event.
I mean, I'd love it. I just don't really expect it anymore. I think there's maybe one a bigger build for it, but unless they're underselling it. But yeah, I don't know. I think it might be a bit further off. I think it might be an end. It might be a Game Awards type dealy, I think, because if it's summer, BioShock will probably be a winter release, 18 odd months away. Might be a bit too soon for something like that. I think if you do it at the Game Awards and then it gets delayed, for example, I don't think that's as big an issue. So I'd probably say no.
Yeah, I mean, probably considering how long in the tooth this game has been, it is probably best to err on the side of caution. But you know, I obviously, as I said, you know, as I said, it might just be more so wishful thinking on my part. Maybe, you know, if I kind of take a minute and step back, maybe the Game Awards is probably a more realistic fit for this announcement. So potentially we should try and manage expectations on this one, but it would be kind of the biggest possible thing 2K could do. But there are other things, you know, potential for 2K here. I think one obvious thing, which, you know, would probably be the least exciting thing, would be to finally give a release date for Marvel Midnight Suns, you know, the tactical game from Firaxis that got put back. You know, from, it was delayed. It was supposed to be released earlier this year. That, you know, that would be a kind of an obvious one, albeit an underwhelming one. There is, of course, been rumors lately that Hangar 13, you know, the studio, obviously, that work on the created Mafia 3 and the Mafia remakes, that they're working on a new Mafia title that's a prequel, and that's, you know, potentially set in the early 1900s, kind of prior to the 1950s setting of the first Mafia game. That would be intriguing. I'm not sure that we'll see that one anytime soon, because of course there was rumors that we were going to see a new game from Hangar 13 last year. Like, it leaked, and then it shortly came out afterwards that game, you know, that was kind of dated info, and that game had been cancelled. And so maybe if they are working on this new Mafia game, you'd assume it's probably early doors, unless they kind of had split into two teams and had one half of the studio working on this. And another possibility, which might be almost as exciting as BioShock, but definitely given the time frames, is probably more likely, would be, of course, Ken Levine's new title, because 2K are also publishing that. So he's got his studio, obviously, that he created when he kind of broke away from 2K, the Ghost Story games. They're a small studio, but like he's been working on it for quite a while. I mean, Ghost Story was announced in 2017, so I think it'll be about time for that. I mean, what do you reckon? Do you give that more of a chance than Bioshock?
If it's been rumored since then, yeah, why not? It's been bloody long enough, but yeah, it's not something I'm too familiar with, but it sounds intriguing. Any hope of a Battleborn 2? No? You reckon?
No. I think Gearbox are a bit too busy with Borderlands these days.
Duke Nukem? That's kind of dead now, isn't it?
Yeah, sadly they kill that with Duke Nukem Forever. Which I actually enjoyed, but I did
as well because it was terrible. sports games probably won't be there. I think there was rumours of another WWE RPG. I'm sure I heard WWE RPG game, but I'm not sure.
That is something actually that WWE announced that like a.
But it wasn't 2K, was it? I think they gave it to someone else, didn't they? I might be wrong in that.
I'm not too sure, to be honest. I didn't read too much into it.
Yeah. There's that. Is it The Quarry? That's 2K, isn't it? That got shown the other week.
That's actually releasing this week, though.
Is it? Okay.
Next week, okay.
Nothing from Rockstar. Because, yeah. That's it, isn't it? Unless you think there'll be anything from Rockstar, but...
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, we know GTA 6 is in the works, but it's probably 3-4 years away, so...
Yeah. Bully 2, one of these days. Yeah, we'll move on from that. Activision, in a weird spot. I'm sure I've seen Modern Warfare 2's got its own event thingy. Or gameplay type thing. So
I think similar to Xbox, they'll probably have a little kind of show here to hype up their own event.
Yeah. Are we counting Blizzard with this?
No. I think if Blizzard were expected to be there, that they would Blizzard. Yeah. They kind of treat them as two separate entities, even though they're the same company. So.
Plus, I think Overwatch has its own event that week as well. I can't remember the exact day, but they're all the same day in my head. But yeah, I think there's an Overwatch event and Diablo and stuff like that. God knows, but... but anything else from Activision outside of COD? Crash Bandicoot, maybe? I think there's been rumours of another type of game from them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I couldn't completely rule out, like, a Crash Bandicoot 5 from Toys for Bob or, you know, something on those lines. Although I'd hope that Toys for Bob's next game would be a new Spyro. I hope they do the same treatment they gave Crash Bandicoot 4, because by all accounts, that was a very good game. So something from Toys for Bob, I wouldn't completely rule out, but I just think Activision rarely kind of have much of a presence at these things. They tend to just kind of come on stage with Call of Duty, and then they just kind of announce their other games as kind of a side, almost like press releases, you know? So that's the reason I don't expect too much from Activision. Not that I think they don't potentially have some. I think it's not too long before we'll probably hear about a new Tony Hawk's game as well, even though I have no clue who's going to be developing it, of course, given that the studio Vicarious Visions went across to be part of Blizzard. But I think it'll be kind of a Call of Duty teaser, and that'll be that for Activision.
Yeah, pretty much. Atlas. I googled this beforehand. It looks stuff you play. That's all I've got.
Yeah. Persona. There's been a rumor for a while that Persona 3 and Persona 4 are coming to PlayStation 4 rather than PS5 like ports, because you wouldn't need to port them to PS5. It's not much you can really do. So maybe we could see one of them. I mean, they did bring Persona 4 Golden Steam a couple of years ago, so could just bring that port across. The other intriguing thing would be if Persona finally comes to Xbox, like if Persona 5 comes to Xbox. That's been rumored for quite some time. So that would be a big win for Xbox.
I think people have given up on that. It's been rumored for about 4 years, though.
Yeah. It could happen. And Atlas do have a game, Soul Hackers, which is another sub-series of the Shin Megami Tensei franchise, which is also Persona is part of. That's coming to all consoles. I think that's coming to PlayStation, Xbox, and PC, I think, later in the year. So I think that would be the most obvious thing for them to show, would be to show more of that and hype that up. So that would be where my money was going. But I think it'd be cool to see something Persona related, like even if it is like one of the older games coming to modern consoles, because I never got to play Persona 3. I own it on PS2 and PSP, but you know, it's difficult to go back and play those now. So it'd be cool to get a port of it on modern systems. So I'd be intrigued by that, but that's probably just more wishful thinking on my part. So yeah, my money's going on Soul Hackers to been there again.
Cool. Bandai building off Elden Ring.
Yeah, that's pretty much my expectation. Is it too early for DLC? No, like a full-on expansion for Elden Ring? Yeah, probably too early, but maybe some kind of added content or something, you know, maybe a new game plus or something, you know, yeah. So something on those lines would be an expectation for me. I don't know what else we'd see from Bandai Namco. Maybe some new, you know, you can never rule out a new Dragon Ball game.
Yeah.
But I don't see any new people might be saying Tales of, but I don't think we'll see another Tales of for a while. And I think when we do, usually they tend to get announced at Japanese events first. So, something small Elden Ring related is where my money's gone.
Yeah. Let's go through some of these quickly so we don't go into a 2-hour podcast. I mean, Bloober Team, anything?
They're rumored to be remaking Silent Hill 2, which is like the you know, similar to how Resident Evil 4 is the big Resident Evil game. Silent Hill 2 is the big Silent Hill game. I'm dubious about that because Bloober Team have burned me. You know, we both played the medium, didn't we?
I didn't. I couldn't be bothered.
I did. And like, it was a decent looking game, but it was boring. Like, it was really boring. Nothing happened. Like, it was just so boring. I also tried out their Blair Witch game when it was on Game Pass, and I didn't enjoy it either. To be honest, I think as well it just kind of gave me an aneurysm because, like, you know, you're lost in a wood, and I just kept getting lost in the game. It's so everywhere looks the fucking same. Like, and I suppose you could say that should be kind part of the point, game, but that you're lost in the woods. Yeah. But it really, really, really frustrated me that I just kept getting lost, and I met a breaking point and had to drop it. So they've burned me a couple of times, Bloober Team. But, you know, they've got a great template in Silent Hill 2, and it is a great game. And it's one, like, I've dabbled with the remaster back on the 360, but it wasn't the greatest remaster, so I dropped it. But like, I've always wanted to give this game a proper go, so this might be my opportunity, like if they do it justice here. So I'm intrigued by this one, so I want to see more. Well, I want to see, so technically we haven't seen anything, it's just a rumor, but
yeah,
or a leak or whatever you want to say. So I'm intrigued by this one.
Capcom, I mean, if Resident Evil was, maybe they'd show more of it here.
Yeah, that's probably just more Resident Evil 4 remake. You know, they do have and more Street Fighter 6.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think we're going to see anything. Capcom do have other things in the pipeline, but I don't think they're going to blow all their load at once, let's say.
coffee stain?
I'm frantically Googling as we speak, like, because I think it's I believe they're a part of the whole Embracer Group thing. Yeah, I think they're kind of known for their mobile games. So probably I not one for us. I have no. Yeah. No, I was right. They are. They're known for their.
They make Deep Rock Galactic.
Well, they do mobile games and some kind of smaller titles. They did Valheim and that Deep Rock Galactic. So
Rock and Stone, brother. What a game! What a game!
Goat Simulator. Jesus, they're big. But yeah, I think they're a publisher actually. So obviously, a lot of those games come from various studios.
Could be fun. The Emerger Group, we didn't mention in the news because it was probably a month or so ago. We didn't mention them buying all of Square Enix's Western studios.
Yeah, a bargain. $300 million. I'm getting like the likes of Tomb Raider and the like. It just seemed like Square just were like, we just want to get out of the West. Like, fuck the West. we're done. We want to focus on Japanese titles. So get back to the roots. But what a buy for Embracer, and it'll be, you know, really cool to see what they have in store there. Like, and what they're going to do. Are they going to kind of divide the teams up and split them across their existing wings, or are they going to set up I think it was rumored there was talk of them setting up a new wing. I wouldn't be shocked if they go and buy the rights to Eidos and call the new wing Eidos, because that's obviously where those games came from prior to Square Enix purchasing them. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. But exciting, like, that, because they're probably going to show a bit more respect to some of those properties than Square Enix did. Like, when people have always wanted a Legacy of Kain game, and we never got one under Square Enix. So exciting to see what they do over time. Like, I like Embracer Group and how they're willing to just take old games and give them a new lick of paint and re-release them. Like, it's cool.
I called them a merger group, didn't I? but yeah, the Embracer Group, they're making moves, and we still don't understand it at all, because they own about a million different things, and I'm pretty sure Deep Silver's part of it.
It is, yes. It is. Yeah. Deep Silver is another part. I've lost, I think Deep Silver is the part, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's the part where Dead Island's under, so if it
I
is...
I think so, yeah.
That would be my expectation here, would be that we finally see Dead Island 2. Like, there's been rumors that there's been rumors that it's coming out this year. So if that's the case, you got to show it at some point. So this would make a lot of sense.
The most beloved trailer that never came out. Maybe they'll just show that trailer again. That'd probably be kind of cool. Devolver, they always do fun stuff. They're not doing their own event. Yeah.
I don't think anything's been announced yet. I'm just giving it a quick check here. It is doing their own event. So it's actually coming. It's on June 9th as well. So maybe again they'll just kind of tease their own event somewhat. They do something crazy. You know how they are. So someone will probably get cut into pieces or something.
absolutely. Digital Extremes.
They create Warframe, don't they? So.
So it'll just be Warframe.
Okay. I'm gonna assume it'll be something related to Warframe.
If it's just Warframe, it'll just be Warframe. Dotemu. How's it going with Dotemu?
They did Streets of Rage 4. And they're also doing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge. So yeah, I'm assuming, no-brainer, it's going to be Shredder's Revenge that they show here.
Beautiful.
Which I can't wait for, personally. Yeah. So.
Yeah, Mutant Ninja Turtle games were great growing up. EA, we obviously saw Jedi Fallen. Is it, no, it's just Jedi Survivor, isn't it? Shown the other day. Maybe we see more of that. Apex stuff, not really worth it for this. FIFA, there's always FIFA and Madden on this shit. There's always that 5 minute sports section where everyone goes for a piss. it's still FIFA. It's got one more year of FIFA and it's EA football, isn't it? Anything from EA that we don't expect, can expect outside of Jedi?
Well, my first comment on EA is, thank God they finally accepted that they shouldn't do their own events because they've been terrible at it all along. So, I mean, they've given us a lot of meme moments, you know, like when they played that mobile Command & Conquer game on stage.
Fucking hell, that was trash.
Yeah, so let's be glad they finally popped on. So credit to EA. They've already won by just not doing their own show. So, you know, go EA. Outside that, I'm not so sure we'll see Jedi Survivor. I think like they'll go quiet for a while. Maybe they'll come back later in the year. They do have a couple other Star Wars products in the works. So, you know, maybe we could see more on one of those. Or alternatively, I mean, we mentioned it earlier, Dead Space Remake could be a no-brainer. It's coming out early next year. So I could potentially see that getting some stage time. Other than that, maybe a NHL or something obvious like that. You know, we know how EA go.
Sport.
I mean one
boxing game.
Chances
do a boxing game.
I wish, but I don't think so. But one outside chance that I know, I believe is in the pipeline is The Sims 5. So,
oh, yes.
I mean, that'd be a pretty big one if they blew out with that, like as their big showing on this showcase.
Fucking love The Sims, even though it cost about $2,000 to get everything. Epic Games, Fortnite. Yeah. Unless they're doing anything else.
Fortnite or Rocket League. You know, we kind of know what to expect from Epic.
Focus Entertainment.
I mean, they're one that they just have a lot of kind of little, well, not little, but they have a lot of PC stuff. So you know, your guess is as good as mine, really. And I know that the PC game show is back this year, so they'll usually have a big showing there, so who knows?
Frost Giant Studios.
Again, another one that's I'm not too sure on.
We can move on.
Yeah.
Levels Infinite. Moving on.
From that one, we'll see what they come out with.
Mediatonic.
Obviously, just more Fall Guys.
Yeah. That is finally coming to Xbox in the summer.
It's not free to play, so it's a big move for them.
Absolutely. I can finally play that game for a week and then get bored with it like everyone else did. Let's go with you.
That's the what do you call them? That RPG. Jesus, I'm blanking.
That dorky
big,
thing.
Big.
No.
Genshin Impact.
Oh.
Yeah. So obviously, it's gonna be more Genshin Impact. Yeah. let's be honest there.
Why is Netflix here?
Because they have their whole games thing now, guy. You know, you can get games on Netflix now. You can download games. I haven't tried any of them, but
any games I want to play.
Well, they do. They purchased someone notable. I think we covered it on the podcast.
We did. I can't remember who it was though.
Yeah. So like they do. I'm sure Netflix games are going to acquisition. Let's just have a look. They own Boss Fight Entertainment. That's one, but I can't. Can't think of who it is. Can't seem to find it either. But you know, they do have a couple notable studios, so I wouldn't. I'd be intrigued to see what they have. It was the Night School Studio as well. They're very notable kind of indie studios. So yeah, no, it'd be interesting to see what they have. And I quite like Night School. So
Raw Fury.
Yeah, another one I'm not too familiar with. So who knows? Who knows what they'll come out with?
Moving on to Samsung.
I have no clue. I'd be very intrigued to see what they're going to come out with.
Sega, obviously, it could be anything really, but maybe show more of the Sonic.
More Sonic Frontiers, yeah. That would be my bet. I don't know, but outside that, maybe some Football Manager 2023, that Sonic kind of collection with the older games on it that's coming out, maybe a new Yakuza, although that's intriguing in itself, because obviously the guy behind Yakuza got poached by one of the Chinese companies and has his own new studio now, so I'd be interested to see where the Yakuza series goes without him. Sonic is probably the safest bet when it comes to Sega.
Square.
I mean, I don't know. You know, will they show more Final Fantasy 16? There was a leak of a trademark for what appears to be another kind of... You know, they obviously when they did Final Fantasy VII Integrate, it was kind of like it brought kind of an added DLC story into the game. There's apparently a leaked trademark for what appears to be yet another kind of side piece. Like, it's not part two of Final Fantasy VII Remake, but it looks to be like another add-on. Obviously, they really got fond of doing that with Final Fantasy XV. There was a lot of like these episodes, as they refer to them. So I wouldn't be surprised to see more for Final Fantasy VII, and maybe that's the time for it. Outside that, I think Dragon Quest XII, any more on that, and on other Dragon Quest titles likewise, probably more of a Tokyo Game Show thing. There is the NVIDIA leak, which, at one point we could have said the things leaked during that were just rumors, but now I think we can safely say anything that was in that leak is happening at some point. And two things in that were Final Fantasy IX Remake and a kind of like a remaster of Final Fantasy Tactics. So when they're coming, I have no idea. I probably prefer they wait on Final Fantasy IX Remake, simply because like 16's coming, 7 Remake is ongoing. You know, I don't think they need to oversaturate things too much and let things breathe for a while and then give us 7 or 9 Remake eventually. But the remaster of Final Fantasy Tactics would very much be welcome, and I could see that happening. And they have a lot of kind of smaller RPGs, but I think we're like that around the horizon. But it's just a lot of them, you tend to lean towards Tokyo Game Show being the right place to show them off. I'm gonna go with I think it'll be that episode for 7, like that add-on for 7 Remake is my personal expectation. That's where my betting is going as far as Square Enix. Well, we know it won't be any Western stuff anyway, because they sacked that in.
Absolutely. Any chance 7 Remake ends up on Xbox this month? Probably not.
I mean, like, it was supposed to be exclusive for a year. It seems that Square and Sony extended that by at least a year. I'm going to just check when it came to PlayStation 5, yeah. Because obviously that will be telling as to when we can expect it. I think it was this time last April. No, that was the original game. So it came to PS4 in April 2020. It came to PS5 June 10th, 2021. So, yeah, the year is up. So if it is a year, you could well see it announced for Xbox. Ash, I guess Xbox's event would be the most sensible place for that to be announced. Be like, we finally got it.
Do we need to see any more of Forspoken or anything like that? Don't think we do, do we?
I actually forgot about that game. So yeah. That's an even more obvious thing to be shown. That seems a no-brainer to show. But like, I'm just hoping that if they do show more of it, that the voice acting is a little less cringy, because some of the lines...
It was a game for the watching, not the story, I think, there. Or for the gameplay rather than the story, talking and stuff like that. Skybound Games.
They're the crowd that do the Walking Dead, which is another one we missed on the showcase. Obviously, they showed off Walking Dead Saints and Sinners 2 for PSVR. So I'd imagine there'll just be more on that.
Yeah.
Would be my guess. I think, though, I could be wrong, but did they own Telltale as well? No.
That rings a bell.
They do. So if that's the case, I did see Telltale tweeting the other day about kind of being back and stuff. So is it time that we finally see...
Well, wasn't Wolf Among Us 2 hard rumoured? I'm pretty sure I heard that. I heard that somewhere. Or am I
yeah, yeah, no, no, that's it? Confirmed.
So, oh, okay. You
know, that would make a lot of sense if Wolf Among Us part 2. And I'd love that because I loved the original Wolf Among Us, like I adored that game, so I'd be right there for it.
Steam, I'm guessing Steam Deck advert, more stuff going to Steam Deck.
That's it. Gabe Newell's just going to come out with a box full of Steam Decks and just start flinging them into the crowd.
Before
he realizes this is a bad idea because these things weigh a lot, and then suddenly we have a few split heads in the crowd.
And then by apologising, you make Half-Life 3.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Here's a hospital trip, but here's also Half-Life 3. Studio MDHR.
Cuphead. Maybe we'll finally get a date for it already has a date, the Delicious Last Course. Is coming out on June 30th, so I'd imagine they'll just look to hype that up. So,
yeah,
makes sense.
Tribeca Festival.
That's just a games festival. Yeah. Imagine they'll just be advertising pretty much.
WB Games, not Warner Bros. Games. We probably know what's going to be out there from this, but. Obviously, they have the DC Fandom, which is, I think, it's usually in October. I might be wrong in that. So maybe Gotham Knights saved a wee bit, but I imagine we'll see more of Harry Potter. Probably Definitely. Do see Gotham Knights. Anything from Suicide Squad?
No, I think they're going to go quiet on Suicide Squad for a while. So, which makes sense. After the delay, I think they'll just kind of want to get that done. And they won't want to take the shine off Gotham Knights because I think, Gotham Knights is already up against it because people have that attitude where it's like, oh, you know, only Rocksteady should make Batman games. And, you know, which I don't think it's fair. I actually enjoyed Gotham Origins. Like, I enjoyed that game. It's not... the best Gotham game, of course, or the Arkham Origins. It's not the best Arkham game, but it is a very good Arkham game. And I just feel like the, you know, that studio was unfairly treated over that game. But nonetheless, people have treated them that way. And for that reason, you know, there's already people who are adverse to this game before it even comes out. And I think, you know, the early previews, people haven't been so keen in the RPG elements. So, you know, I don't think they'd want to, you know, for you know, more reasons than one, but I don't think they'd want to take the shine away by showing off Suicide Squad as well. So I think the focus would be left on Gotham Knights. And I think, of course, Hogwarts Legacy is a sure-in. Like, I mean, and to be honest, that game looks class. Obviously, we weren't doing the podcast at the time when they did the big gameplay blowout on it, but that game looks amazing.
Yes, it does. And I can't wait. Never, as I think I've said this many times, I like the films, but they've never been one of the special, it's never been one of the special franchises for me, but the game, I just love the, I love the world, I love the world and possibility with wizards and shit like that. Anything else? What was that? The Wonder Woman game got, well, it was made aware that it existed at their last event thing. Too soon for anything further than that?
Probably. Again, I just think they want to kind of focus things in terms of their DC superhero games. So it just makes sense with Gotham Knights being the one that's imminent to focus the limelight there. So I just think you never see too much from one company at these things. So one or two games usually the max, and because they have two obvious games to cover, I think it's assuring that's what we'll see. And you know, I think given the magnitude of those two games, I don't think people will have any complaints.
Yep, I'd be very happy with both them games. And that is it, unless I missed a scroll. No, I have not. Anything we've missed there from the Summer Game Fest?
No, I think we've covered all the partners. I mean, the only other thing I'd predict is that inevitably Jeff Keighley ends up talking to Kojima at some point. that's a safe bet, I feel.
We could get the director's cut thing of I can't even believe it. What's a Amazon Prime game called?
Oh God! Death Stranding.
Death Stranding. There has been rumours of a sequel. Could see that. Probably not here. It wasn't named, but Kojima is his mate. But yeah. But that is it. Anything you want to bring up before we go, Carl?
No, I'm just, you know, I think this time of the year it's not as big as it once was. You know, with E3 dying and a lot of the companies deciding they no longer need to have their individual showcases. Like it's not as hype as it once was. But nonetheless, I'm excited for the Summer Games Fest. I'm excited for the Xbox and Bethesda showcase. Which, of course, we'll hopefully get into to more so next week in more depth. So I am excited for these. And to be honest, for my sanity, it's probably a good thing that there's going to be less showcases because, you know, we all remember how I'd kill myself watching every single show. It's sitting through like 3 hours of like the Japanese showcase, looking at subtitles and the like, and taking notes for this podcast. So I'll be glad that this time we can just kind of sit down and have maybe a more relaxed experience and cover these. But nonetheless, I'm excited to see what's coming.
Absolutely, absolutely. As Carl said, we should be back hopefully early-ish next week. We'll preview Xbox and any other news that comes out in that time. But Xbox be a lot of speculation because everything's got delayed. But we'll get into that next week. But yep, hopefully you enjoyed the show. We'll be back next week at some point, and then we'll be back with reviewing all the shows, which will be massive. But thank you, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Akal. Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.